this thing on? Yep. Hey, testing. Yeah, there we go. I told him a while ago, it's the first time I ever got to wear this thing, and it worked. So I always thought it'd be cool to wear this thing. Thank you, Mike. That is probably one of my favorite songs right now. And I'm just hang on. I'm going to give you a chance to bring it all to the table. All right? So right now, we're going to recognize some seniors. They've kind of been cheated out of a lot this year. I mean, they had one heck of a senior skip day. I'm telling you, I talked to one of them the other day. He said, that's the best skip day I've ever had. I mean, they missed out on a lot. They missed out on a lot of recognition and, you know, getting to do, you know, proms and breakfast and graduate. They've missed out on so much. But we're going to recognize them today. And, you know, I'm probably going to be as lost as Brother Lenny was earlier. So if you get to hearing me, I've got cheat notes over here, but kind of try to keep me on path because I'm bad about chasing rabbits. But I'm going to ask our seniors to come up here. We have three right now. Brock, come on up here. Brock Boulding, Caroline Jackson, and Sam McDaniel. After you cheating, come on up here. That's close to 6 foot. I kind of measured. These three here be graduating from high school. There's one more here I want to recognize real quick that it's not only high school. I kind of missed out. College got sent home early, too. And I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody, and I apologize, but this one's been brought to my attention. But I'm not going to embarrass her whatsoever. All I'm going to do is ask her to stand. But Amber graduated from Arkansas Tech, and you get a chance to congratulate her, do that, that's a big thing. I never graduated from college. I never went to college. But anyhow, I might have if I'd have went. These seniors, you know, they've been a lot of fun to get to know this last year. Sam, he is, what I'm understanding, going to go to college at North Art and then transfer to Arkansas Tech and major in criminal justice and look about being a park ranger. I know Caroline is going to be going to U of A, kind of a pre-vet thing, going into poultry science, correct? And be doing that. So these days when your dog's sick, look Caroline up. She'll be able to help you. And then Brock's going to North Art. And Brock, I ain't gonna lie, I don't have a clue what you're going to do. You don't either. We're just going. All right? In first 2 years, just getting everything out of the way anyhow. So you can kind of decide. A lot of people kind of change. But, you know, one thing for sure is I know where their hearts are. It's something that always worries me for seniors. I didn't look up the statistics, but so many teenagers are lost between high school and college. You take a look here. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. What class do we have for college-age students when they're here? It's a point where a lot of them are gone. A lot of them are traveling. They're not here every weekend. So, they kind of get lost in the shuffle. They really do. And we're here to lift them up, encourage them, and stay after them. All right? I still stay in contact with youth that it's been gone for 15 years. I still talk to them on Facebook. I run into them in Harrison or wherever. And it's nice to get to see them. I still have some that call me because they're having trouble with things in their life. And they still call me. And it means a lot. It really does. We're going to let you get to know these young ones. We got a little video that we're going to show and maybe some embarrassing pictures and stuff like that. So you'll kind of get to know them. So if you guys would Play the video for us, please. Well, there's no doubt they don't like animals. I'd say that is the first time I've actually watched it. I might or might not have fell asleep while Holly was working on that. So, parents, great job. You've done a great job. They're good kids to get to know and good kids to hang around. And they're a lot of fun. So, there's a lot of things that we could get them for a going away present here at Osage. And it's just kind of been a tradition, and I think it's a very important one. You know, we could buy them gifts, we could give them money, we can give them a lot of things, but we choose each time, each year, to give the students a new Bible. They're going to need it, and it's something that each one of them, we give each one a choice to, we ask them what kind they wanted, what they needed, what kind of Bible, study Bible, what version, whatever they wanted, and we made it happen for them. And, it's something that, guys, I ask you to continue to study it, continue to look at it. No matter what I tell you up here today, you can find the answers right there. All right? It's always there. You'll be able to find the answers. So always go to His Word. I'll talk to you a little later. You're going to run into things. It's going to be difficult. I just ask that you not be one of them statistics that fall out of God's Word, and stay with it. All right, get involved wherever you are in the collegiate ministry, wherever it's at. Get involved and stay with it, and stay with the stuff. So, I'm going to present you with your Bibles at this time, parents. You're more than welcome to get and take pictures. I know you have been cheated on pictures. So I have walked through a cobweb and it is all over me. I thought somebody was putting something behind me there for a second. But it's getting bad in here. Not clean in person, I'll tell you. Brock, come on up here. Try to get this thing back on. I've knocked it off. Man, I ask you that you keep up with this, study it, and always look forward to it, all right, man? So, congratulations. I know we're not supposed to hug and stuff, but that's just the way it is. So, Caroline? Again, hang on to it, study it, cherish every word of it, all right? Congratulations. Proud of you. Uh-oh. I knew I'd do that before it was over. Holly, you pick that up. And Sam? Proud of you. Always stay after the word, all right, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. One of the biggest things I think here at Osage that I've always appreciated is the prayer warriors that we have at our church. And I ask you continue to pray for these kids. And, at this time we're going to pray over each one of them. I'm going to have each one come up here individually at the altar. And I'm going to ask their immediate family if they want to come up and be with them. And then I've asked each student to choose somebody to pray for them. And I ask them to pick somebody that has made a difference in their lives and that they've looked up to and has been that guide. And whether some of you know it or not, somebody's watching you everywhere you go. All right, you're leading somebody all the time. I've told these teenagers numerous times that Guys, there's little kids looking at you every day. Somebody wants to be you. How are you leading them? You know, and it's just something that you're being read every day, no matter what you're doing. So it's something that we have to be careful on how we lead somebody, how they see us, and how we guide them. So I'm going to ask Caroline, if you would, just you can take that with you down here to the altar. And if your mom and dad didn't want to come down here, and your sisters, whoever wants to come down here with her family, she has asked for Tim Cantwell to pray over her today. And I just ask the church that you guys pray as well and pray for these young people and just be with them. So, the second family's coming, Brent. Stay right there. He's going to do it from the pulpit.
Man, Sam, it's such an honor to me to be able to do this. I appreciate you asking me. I think you'll all agree with me that Sam's someone we all look up to, literally. But join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for putting Sam in my life. I thank you for getting to know him and what a fine young man he is. Dear Lord, I know that you have a plan, a perfect plan for him and his life, and a plan to prosper him, a plan for joy, and a plan for building up your kingdom through him. Dear Lord, I pray that you would give him the wisdom to follow that plan, to see your hand at work in his life and his circumstances, and have the boldness to follow your work and your will. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would guide his steps and continue to put the people in his life that would cause him to grow closer to you and have a love for you and build a life and a home that's centered around you. Dear Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you for the opportunity we'll have to see him grow in a faith and a walk. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I tell you, let's give them a round of applause. These guys are great kids. Now, I'm going to try to get through this. I studied this a couple months ago when we thought we was going to have a graduation, and I changed my mind that I wasn't going, that wasn't what I was going to talk about and stuff, and God kept dealing with me that, no, this is it. You got to talk about this. And the title of my message is Get Out of the Boat. You guys have probably heard this sermon 100 times by different people. But God just kept dealing with me to speak about this. So what I figure is there's somebody here today that needs to hear this, that needs to get out of the boat. So I just want you to know you're holding up the rest of the congregation for what I was going to say, that you're going to have to get out of the boat today, okay? So I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. I didn't do a PowerPoint because I am terrible about keeping on track of what I write down. So you're just going to have to follow with me, and I will do the best that I can. Because it's important, you know, and not only am I just, I'm not just preaching to the 3 seniors or 4 seniors, I'm preaching to all of us. It's convicted me as well, and, you know, it's kind of made me make a choice in my life that it's, you know, I think we all need to make. So, if you would, stand with me as we give reverence to God's holy word. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the 4th watch on the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples seen him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us pray. Gracious loving Father, we come to you today. Lord, I just ask you to speak through me to everyone here. Lord, you touch our hearts, you open us up to your word, and Lord, give us the courage to get out of the boat. Lord, just to follow and to believe in you in everything we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so we understand, you know, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 5,000 men. The world's largest fish fry had just taken place. All right. I'm talking fried fish and hush puppies. They had had it, okay? 5,000 men, not counting women and children, it was a big deal. A miracle was done. So Jesus sent his disciples. He said, just go get in a boat, go to the other side, I'll catch up. You know, you would have thought they would ask, well, how are you going to get there? You know, what you got a boat, what's up? You know, but I figure they were, walking back to the boat, bum-puzzled. You have any idea where he got them fish? Where did them come from? Where did he get all that? You know, they never even asked how he was going to get there, but they listened, they went. All right, and then, they're out in the sea. Jesus goes up on the mountain, he prays, and when he gets done, he walks across the water to them. And then they see him, and they get scared. All right, now, guys, you know and I know, when you're hanging out with your buddies and you see something scary, you don't want to be the first one that screams like a girl. I mean, man up, let's say it, you bowl up, you don't want to be that first guy that takes off squealing like a girl running, all right? But the Bible tells us they were all afraid. They all cried out. And, and Jesus answered them, don't be afraid, all right? And then Peter, fast-talking Peter, you remember back when they come to get Jesus to crucify, Peter, he's the one that grabbed the sword, took that guy's ear off. Now, I don't really believe he was aiming for his ear. I think he just missed. He was trying to protect his Savior, and Peter sometimes, we all know that person who speaks before they think sometimes. The ones you said in a meeting and you got any questions. We all know that person. All right. Peter was the fast talking, go get it, okay? And he's the one, Lord, if you command me, if it's you, command me to come out there. So he did. All right. So that's kind of a summary of the story. We want to talk about getting out of the boat. If you're in the boat, you're comfortable. All right, you're comfortable in so many different things. You're comfortable in yourself. You're comfortable in your worry, your life, your seat, your contentment, your regularity, your rebellion, your independence, your anxiety. But God is calling you to get out of your comfort level and get out of the boat. All right. Too many times, and I'm as guilty as anyone, I go through the motion. We get up on Sunday morning, you get ready, you come and you sit in your spot. You guys know what I'm talking about. We got spots. This tape is messing with spots. I can tell you right now. We've got the spots. We come in, we sit down, we go through the service, and then we get up, we go home, we eat lunch with family. Too many times we get in a routine. And then we don't bring it up, especially now that there's nothing going on Wednesdays from Sunday morning till next Sunday morning. Church doesn't get brought up. We go through a routine. It's not everybody, but that's not the way it should be. We need to get out of our comfort zone. There are some people that can't get up and speak in front of people. There's other people that don't like to pray in front of people. There's so many different things that we can do to get out of our comfort zone. And you see, Peter did something the other disciples wouldn't do. He got out of the boat. He made a move. Somebody tell me, he made a move. We all need to make a move. And he made a move because, you see, Peter didn't get thrown out of the boat. He didn't slip out of the boat. He didn't jump out of the boat. He got out of the boat all on his own. Nobody threw him out. The waves didn't toss him out. And You know, too many times, seniors and congregation, we go through life and God's pushing us to do something, but that's out of our now. You know, I remember when I came to this job as a youth leader. I was on the committee looking for a youth leader. I'm not kidding you, wasn't I? I was trying to help look for a youth leader. And, you know, I mean, we was calling people, we was looking at resumes and all that, and God kept dealing with me. Raj, no. And he just kept on and kept on. And finally, I got mad. And I said, God, if you want me to do it, you put it in black and white, because I am not qualified to do this job. I just said it. I got mad. I said it. And I was turning up to work, and it was at the Open Door Baptist Church on Cottonwood Road. I made the turn, and, of course, they had a white sign with black letters on it. And it said, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. I said, well, Lord, okay. So, and you know, I remember going home telling Holly, guess what? Guess what God just put in black and white? And so I remember coming to Miss Kim and said, I think I found us a youth leader. She said, who? I said, me. And, you know, that was out of my comfort zone. It really was. I didn't know anything about leading teenagers. I barely take care of myself. And, you know, I still don't see myself as qualified, but, you know, I love teenagers. I mean, you know, it's just something that I've always enjoyed doing. You know, too many times we walk to the edge of the ship and we don't take that step. You know, I'd be willing to say most everybody in here, there's somebody, you know, there's something in your life God has called you to do, and you've walked, you don't know, like, man, I'm just not comfortable doing that. I don't want to do that. You know, I still do that. You know, with things that I talk about, you know, it's, you know, we got to get out of normal. You know, like I said, one of these days all this mess is going to be over, and we can go back to hugging and greeting people, sitting next to each other, eating meals together. You know, we're Baptists. We have to eat together. You know, we're going to be able to do those things one of these days. But, you know, we've got to get out of the normal. You know, it's something that we get comfortable doing the same thing over and over and not doing what God don't want us to go into 2021 the same way we come out of 2020. All right? This year's half over. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. It's half done. You know, let's finish up 2020 different than the way we started. Let's get out of the boat and, you know, do something unordinary. You know, God's not going to just beam us up. He's not going to do a hocus pocus and push you out of the boat. You know, we have to do it. We have to do it ourselves. You know, we got to stop saying, well, I've never done it like that before. That's the way my grandparents done it. That's tradition. That's just the way it's always been. And we've got to, you know, we've got to do something. We're going to have to bust a move. That's just all I can say. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm going to have to go old school on you, and just we're going to have to bust a move and start going. So, you see, Peter did something the rest wouldn't do. Because a lot of times, too many, you know, we're afraid what others are going to say. We're afraid of what people might tell us, what your peers might say, what your classmates might say. And, you know, you students, you know, you got to forget about what other people think of you as far as, you know, making fun of you following God. Don't worry about that. You know, you stay with the stuff. And don't let them tell you what to do. You know, in verse 24, you know, we take a look at where the boat was. It said the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, and the wind was contrary. You know, I took a cruise here a few years ago, and I was just in the Gulf. I wasn't out in the middle of the sea. And, you know, it's different when you get out there and you can't see land in any direction. I know me and Brother Russell went on a fishing trip one year, and we wasn't in a very big boat. Oh, I didn't think it was a very big boat. And we went out, and next thing I know, I turned around, and I couldn't see land. That's different. All right, something happens to that boat. That's a long swim. And I'd already seen fish go by big enough that could eat me, and, you know, didn't feel real safe about it. But we was out in the middle of, you know the ocean, the Gulf, no land. So it was something that, you know, is being tossed by the waves. It said it was on the fourth watch, so, you know, it's between 3 and 6 a.m. I was raised up night fishing. Been night fishing all my life. We go down to bull shows, go out on the lake, and tie up to a tree along this bluff, drop a light, and we sit there and fish. I was raised up doing it. Been doing it ever since I can remember. I remember when I was approximately 2-3 years old. Don't remember a lot about it, but a big storm came up. You know, it was before cell phones that, deep, you know, it's going to rain, here it comes, get out of here. You know, it was before all that time. Big storm came up. And I remember my grandparents putting a life jacket on me and cram me up underneath the front of the boat, underneath this awning thing, under a seat. Of course, I look back at that now, and I'm like, Granny, what if the boat would have flipped? You stuck me under there. You know, then I thought I was pretty safe. I mean, I wasn't getting wet. I was all curled up. It was great. But I just remember trying to get back across that water and the waves, the boat just bouncing everywhere, and it was scary. You know, I remember my grandpa hollering, you know, shouting out orders. We was doing nothing right, you know, and it was a scary time. And that's where the disciples were at that time. They were in this storm, in this boat, out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night. It was dark, you know, couldn't see a thing. It wasn't the best time to make a move. But Peter did. You know, you look at where we're at right now in the United States with all this COVID going on and all these regulations going on and, you know, just the way our world is going, the rioting, the killing. You know, you might think, Brother Roger, this ain't the time to make a move. Why ain't it? It wasn't a good time to make a move then. It was in the middle of a storm. You know, it's being tossed around. You know, you seniors, you may not know exactly where you're going to, I mean, you know where you're going to go to college. Some of you don't know what you're going to do. You may not know where you're going to live. You don't know where, you know, where you're going to stay, how you're going to pay for this. You may not know how you're going to pay your taxes. We may not know what virus is coming next. But I tell you, this is the time to make a move toward God. And when you do, you're going to have people that's going to make fun of you, laugh and call you names. And, you know, but just realize you did something, you know, Peter did something them other jokers wouldn't do. He went to the, got out of the boat. And, you know, the rest of them just sat there. Don't be that person. Don't just sit there. Get out. And, you know, verse 29 goes on and says, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Anybody here ever done any water walking? Huh? There have been a few times I thought I had. Fishing the creek. Snake go between your legs. Yeah, I've skipped a few across there. You know. But Peter got out, went to the edge of the boat, and stepped out. I mean, you know, how many of us you know, you go, I've not been swimming yet this year, but how many times you get out there on that boat and you want to jump in, but you know that water's cold. You don't want to take that first step, you know. I know for years we took the kids to Siloam Springs, and we'd go up there to that thing, that truss drop or whatever they call it, and, you know, your kid stands up on the stump, everybody lines up behind him, come on, Paul, don't be a baby, you know, Joel will catch you, you know, and you yell at them for doing it. Well, they talked me into getting up there. That wasn't easy, because I'd gotten on to some of them the night before, and they were the ones down there catching me. You know, and they said, go ahead, jump, we'll catch you. And I cannot tell you how many times I went up to the edge of that stump. Now, are you sure? You know, I didn't want to do it. I don't want to say I didn't trust them, but I didn't trust them. You know, and they kept putting the little ones down here where the most weight was going to hit. And I'm like, guys, you all need to switch, you know. And I kept trying to adjust it until I was comfortable. And that's not how we work, you know. I should have trusted them to catch me. They did. You know, I whacked three of them in the head when I flailed my arms like I wasn't supposed to. But, you know, it's something that Peter went to the edge of the boat and walked on water. Guys, that's impossible for us, but it's not impossible for God. You know, seniors, God wants to do impossible things through your lives if you'll let Him. You know, He wants to change things. He wants you to do things that you can't imagine doing if you'll let Him. And, you know, and it's the same way with us here. You know, Peter walked on water. He did something that his own natural power was ain't able to do. But with God, all was possible. You know, if you look up the word walk in the Greek dictionary, that means to make use of the opportunity and take advantage of the time. You know, so that's what we need to do. We need to take advantage of that time and you know, be willing to get out. You know, we may have passed up on an opportunity once before, but don't do it again. God will help you with your business. He'll help you with your marriage, your school, kids, whatever you need. You know, I don't think just because you get out of the boat, you're not going to face challenges, because you're going to. But I want you to look around. That's what we're here for. We're here to pray for you. We're here to comfort you, support you. You know, that's what the staff is here for. That's what these people at the church is for. To encourage you, to be with you, and to guide you. And, you know, in verse 30, it talks about Peter when he started to walk on the water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, I can't even say the word, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You know, Peter seen the wind and the waves around him. It doesn't really say that he took his eyes off of Jesus. It just, he started noticing the things around him, and he got scared. That's where he got in trouble, was he got afraid. You know, it tells us 365 times in the Bible, do not fear, do not be afraid. You know, it's he got afraid because he started seeing those things. Guys, we need to be able to see the things around us. You know, one of the hardest things for me during training as a police officer, my grandparents raised me up whenever I was shooting a weapon, that I stayed focused on what I was shooting at. I looked beyond my target, made sure it was safe, and then you stayed focused. You did, you know, you took the gun, put it on safety. When you were done, that was it. You know, once then I became a police officer, when we start training, you know, I would shoot, and then they'd have you scan your surroundings before you put your gun down to make sure to check your six and everything else. So, you know, we'd have to shoot, and then you have to scan as you're looking. That was the hardest thing for me, because I was You know, so I had one of our sergeants, he slapped me upside the head one day. I said, what was that for? He said, I just knocked you out because you wasn't looking. So the next time, huh? You know, it didn't take long to learn that. We need to see our surroundings. You know what's around you because, you know, there's too many people. I mean, let's be realistic. You know, there's some spiritual people out there that does not see that their marriage is falling apart. There's people out there who doesn't see that their business is falling apart or whatever, you know, because they're not looking at what's around them and seeing these things. You know, and how are we going to know what God's brought us out of if we can't see it? You know, we need to be able to see what God has brought us out of and what we're going forward to. There I go. I started my stuff. But Peter starts sinking because he was afraid. And God is just not the author of fear. That's the word I'm trying to say. But then what does Peter do whenever he gets scared? He cried out, Lord, save me. Why? Because you're going to have wind, you're going to have waves, you're going to have darkness in your life. And, you know, but we have the promise of a way out. Sometimes we get in a rock and a hard place, and you see, Peter was too far from the boat to turn around and go back. You know, he couldn't just go back, but he wasn't quite at arm's reach of Jesus yet. You know, how many times, you know, in our lives do we feel like that we do things that we're too far away from Jesus? And, you know, it says that Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. We're never out of the reach of Christ. No matter what you do, where you go, you know, you're never out of the reach of Christ. And we should always, you know, remember he is there. You know, it said that he cried out. You know, Peter prayed quickly. He didn't have time for a long prayer. He didn't, you know, he didn't have time for, dear Lord, we thank you for this day, but I'm sinking. You know, he didn't have time for that. He cried out, Lord, save me. You know, we can pray going down the street. We can pray wherever we're at. Don't close your eyes doing that. But, you know, we pray where we're at, and God will be there for us. You know. And then Jesus said the one thing, why did you doubt me? You know, why? Well, this thing about to drive me crazy. Why did you doubt me? You know, and my challenge for you today is there somebody here that needs to get out of the boat? Is there somebody here that God is calling you to a ministry and you're afraid to? Brother Mike, if you all would, come up. You know, I challenge the teens all the time to step out of their comfort zone. That's what I'm going to ask you as a church, is to step out of your comfort zone. Just bring it all to the table. You know, if you're here and you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, okay. And I'm just asking for you to get the courage to step out and just bring it to the table, give it to God, and get out of the boat. As a church, we need to get out of the boat. We need to, you know, let's not just stay normal. Let's do things a little different. Let's win people to Christ. You know, I've sat here all my life and listened to Brother Lanny talk about how close the rapture is to coming and how close it is till God returns. And I'm always, well, you know, okay. They've been saying that for how many years? Guys, you look at what's going on now in the world, in the United States, you know, this cashless society that they're trying to get, that's Scripture. It's coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming quick. There's a lot of people out there that needs Jesus. I see it every day at work. There's so many of them. We need to do something to get them in here. We need to get out of the boat. So, I'm going to ask if Tim, Brother Lenny, if you would come up here. If you need to just come to the altar, I just ask you to come up here and just pray. If you need to talk to one of us, please do it. If you need to accept Christ, let's do it. Let's get out of the boat. I just ask you to bring it all to the table and turn it over to Him. And whatever you do.
It's nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow, all your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. So bring it all to the table. Nothing He ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. So bring it all to the table. It's nothing He seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table.
As these continue to pray, I'm going to dismiss our seniors to go to their tables. They can put their caps and gowns on. Parents, if you want to go with them, you're more than welcome. I ask them, when we dismiss, that you go by and congratulate each one of these. I'm gonna stay up here for a little while because I feel like there's somebody else. God's dealing with you. You need to do something. They work in Awana. Work with teenagers. Work in the kitchen. Or just get out of the normal. Meet people in the parking lot. Whatever it may be. I just ask, don't pass up on what God's calling you to do. You may make a difference in somebody's life. You do what God's calling you to do, I promise you, you will make a difference in somebody's life. No matter what it is. So. Brother Russell, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?